Okay, Ron, thank you so much. Good to be here. I ate too much while ago, so.
Bless you.
I sometimes do that because I don't, when I get up and get started doing something at the house, I have to do everything that's done, basically, and so sometimes I don't eat breakfast until 12 or 1 o'clock in the day, and that kind of messes my sugar up a little bit, and I have to find out where I'm at there, too. So, continue to remember me as we go down through these years of that we look back on and see and realize and understand them. Where we were and now where we're at.
Amen.
And, we answered some of our questions and some of them we haven't answered yet. Probably some we never will get answered until we see the one that knows it all. And, I'm pretty sure that that's the way that's gonna work out because, you know, as we started looking at Luke, a few months back, and we realized that, we continue to learn things from going back and looking at scriptures that we've looked at years and years ago because some of this I remember a little bit of because I wasn't a believer then. And so it didn't get burnt into my mind like it is now because I try to do it in a different realm now because of understanding some of these questions that I had so long ago. And to realize that, it's wonderful to realize where you've come to, at least into the understanding of who is salvation and what is salvation. And salvation is the Lord Christ Jesus is salvation. You can't get around that. There's no other way you can get around it.
Amen.
And I look back at some of these things in John now, and these people are questioning. We've got to the point now in John where it's getting pretty close to the time that they're going to crucify Christ. And he's still he can still get around some of them for a period of time, and then it seems like all of a sudden they can't touch him or can't do anything to him because his time is not yet for that to take place. And we realize that everything that God has is kind of concerning man is kind of on a time limit, their time. And so we need to look at these things that way, but we realize that the Jews were very, very adamant in what they thought they knew. And then whenever they get to talking to Christ, they say, I've never met anybody that could talk like that. Well, when you know everything, basically, if you know the hairs on the people's head that you're looking at and talking to, they ain't got much of a shot with you.
Yeah,
and so to realize that, you know, the things that Jesus did, Satan tried to cover it up with his best of stuff that he has. And he tries to come out with something that kind of seems good, may not be all that great. And so here's where we've got to in John 8. And these people, they are now back into the temple area. They went home to their own place and said that Jesus went out. It didn't say what he done or how much rest he got, and it didn't, because that wasn't important with what we're looking at exactly right here. But, then when the Jews come in the next morning, they had a woman. They said, well, we caught her in doing bad things. And said, in the act, basically. And so they wanted to try to trick Jesus up by seeing what he would say about it. And so I felt like when we went through it, that particular aspect of time, that I didn't go back and look at Deuteronomy and Numbers, where this is pretty substantially put forth and how it's supposed to be according to their law then and the will of God. So we went back our last study and looked at that again a little bit. So I want to get down and start with John 8:12, because this is where that when they were talking to Jesus and said, and they were trying to lay out their little query there as to where he where they were questioning him, and he heard this. And then he stooped down and wrote in the sand, wrote in the dirt. Because where they were was at the Bema seat. Now don't forget this, because a Bema seat is kind of like a throne, a throne area that Caesar built to have some of his court hearing then. And that was called the Bema seat. Well, and he ornated it, the ground a little bit, with some different colored, like churches put in their glass windows. You know, the different color tile that they put in there.
Yeah.
And so some of that was laid on the ground. And this is not a place that's not fully covered on top. And so there is dirt there, or sand or whatever you want to call it. It's earth there. And he wrote in the sand, and there was a reason he done that. And so we looked at that a little bit again. Then we get on down to verse 12 and 10 and 11. He stoops down again and writes there. And when he gets up, he said, okay, who among you without sin? That's the first stone. They looked around at each other and got up, and by age, and they were probably around 50 or 60 people in this group. And they went out of that area by age, by the oldest to the youngest, and no one cast a stone or even cast a aspersion toward her, and walked out. Now, what I did, if that wasn't of God, then how did that take place? I showed you from the oldest to the youngest. They had their way of doing things set up just like you'd climb a ladder. You went step by step. Well, they came down step by step. And didn't make any more accusations or anything. Well, the guys that brought the woman is still there. They're still there. They've seen all this take place. Now, we get down to verse 12. And so we'll start with our study there. It says, in verse 12 of chapter 8 of John, it says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, in Luke, we found out that he had the living waters. And then in other times when he was teaching these people, he said, "This is my body, take part and eat." And I said, how are we going to eat a living being, you know? Now he says, he is the light of life. And so if he is the giver of life, and man has life, then that makes sense that he is the light of life. If he can give life, certainly he has the ability to take care of it which way it goes. And so I'm going to read you my notes on this. Then spake Jesus again. A lot of times when this happens, there is a therefore put in your scripture. And there's a lot of therefores in scripture. And generally, therefore means because of this. And that makes sense. You know, well, it says, then spake Jesus, therefore, again. Well, he's not finished with them. And he's not going to be finished with them until you get just about to the end of John 8. Because there's going to be things that goes on between the different groups in these times. And he is going to tell them now things that he has not really said to a lot of them because they still don't believe who he is. And they're not going to. So he says again, unto them, or the men, saying, I am the light, the foes, the phos, that which pushes darkness away. The light of the world, the foes, full stop. And he says he's the light of the world, and you can find this in the appendage 114-1 in the Companion Bible. It says, those within the treasury of verse 20. We haven't got to verse 20 yet here, but they are still there. And those that said they found the woman, they are still there. So Jesus at the temple has got a pretty good crowd showing up. Verse 12 continues, says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the light of life is here, is put there by the figure six in your companion Bible appendices, and that's the figure metonymy. And metonymy means it is of the same subject, but sometimes it's a different word. It could be a different word, but it's basically the same subject, for its inabilities without distinctive implying things. And here, he is talking about these things, and he's talking to the Jews, but evidently there are others there that aren't Jews that need to understand this was to everybody rather than just to the Jews alone. And he said, all will see it. Not only that, but are able to possess it. If it's said in this way, then the Jews can understand it their way, and the Gentiles or those others that are in the temple area can understand it also. Now, verse 13, we'll go on. We're there. We've kind of run this one down for a pretty good while. The Pharisees, therefore, said unto him, well, a lot of those, you know, Jews and Pharisees is from the same grouping, but they don't have the same thoughts quite often. The Pharisees, therefore, here it is again, said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. But they don't quit there. They say your record is not true, because it takes two to make anything a true statement. Well, Jesus has an answer for that. Okay? In 13, the Pharisees, therefore, because of this, said unto him, those that bear the record, John 1:32 tells you that. If you want to know what the record is in John, you can go back to John 1 and look at from John 1:10 up through a little ways. There's a pretty good record of that that's already been started, been kind of set up there in John 1. But, you know, sometimes we don't go all the way back there and look at these things. It bore witness or beheld or saw the Spirit. That's the record of thyself. Thy record is not true, they say. Well, what was the answer that Jesus gave? In 14, it says this. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Full stop. He says, I'm not lying to you in so many words. In the South, we're not cheating you with something. Would be a good statement there, but he says, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, full stop. For I know whence I came and whither I go. Full stop. Whither I go is not full stop. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. So if you can't get an understanding of this is you might be talking to Jesus this minute and you blink your eyes and the next minute he's not there. Yeah, there's not people that can. I don't know of anyone else anywhere in the world at any time that could possibly do something like this. Unless they were had a bad spirit within them or something that needed to be taken care of. So, 14 says, I bear record, or I know, and that know there in Greek is oida, appendix 132, cannot tell my record is, but my record is true, for I know whence I came. So, he knows why he's there. He knows what he's there to do. He's there to do the Father's will. And he's there to try to show these people that he is the Son of the living God rather than the son of Joseph and Mary. You know, they look around and say, oh, I've known this man for ever since he was born. That's the carpenter's son. Okay, no. Well, he may be, but not now. For 3 years almost, he's been doing the will of God only. For 3 years. They still can't get it. They still can't see that. He says, where, whence I came, the reason I'm here, and whither I go, if you don't see me again, you probably won't know where I'm at because you don't believe who I am. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. It's not within your ability or your range. He's telling these people here that's in the treasury there, and the ones that brought the woman, you just ain't got it. You just don't know. You don't know how I operate, basically. And the reason you don't know how I operate, because you cannot believe what I say and who I am. That was his story there, really. Now let's get to 15. Now 15 goes back to chapter 7 a little bit, because he's going to make another statement here. And the statement's going to be in two parts, one about them and then one about him. And so when we see this, you're looking like if you put up two hands, they don't match until they come together. So if you got a left and a right, you can put them together and make them match, but when they're separate or apart, they don't fit. That's the way I kind of look at this. He said, you judge after the flesh. If you make a judgment, you're doing it by your own brain, your own mind, and maybe your own heart. He says, I judge no man, because he's not there now to judge people. What do you think them people that brought the woman in, what do you think they thought when they heard this? It's a wonder they had got up and walked out. Well, I'm not, they might have did. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to argue with.
But the fact is, he's telling it straight. He's telling it plain. He's telling it like it is. They can't believe it. Even the Pharisees can't believe it. And they're supposed to have the education of the Jews down pat. They're supposed to know what the law is. They're supposed to know what they've been promised, all this stuff. But He said, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. That's another full stop. One day he is going to judge, and it is going to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what God has given his son to do, and that's the reason he is salvation. He said, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Oh, now that's two. Again, we didn't make that kind of plain on one of our studies last time. But the Father never leaves the Son, or basically the Son never leaves the Father other than to do what the Father needs done. We're sitting here on the work of the Son of God. If you're on the earth, you're here by the work of the Son of God.
Amen.
And if you're here in person, it is because you have been given the privilege to have offspring. And that offspring has life, but it may not have eternal life. Because it's given unto man once to die. Okay? So here we are. With another little problem. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone. Okay, so that makes two. If he's not alone, his Father is with him. But I am the Father that sent me.
I bet that lit them up.
Yeah. If they didn't go up when he said, you know, did you condemn these women? None of them condemned the women.
Yeah.
If they didn't leave then, boy, they're sitting on, like, I bet it's like kind of like a bed of coals, you know.
They thought it was absolute blasphemy for him to make a reference to him and his father.
And his father and
as God.
God. Yeah. That's it. Okay. So let's go to 17. It says, and it's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Oh, so he goes and tells them this reason.
Me and my father.
You're not seeing my father because you're looking at me. And I bet that put a little more coals upon the heat that they're sitting on. I think their seat is, it's kind of like we call, you know, put this man on the hot seat. Make him tell the truth. Well, that's what they're trying to do. And this is how Satan has always worked. He's always got something going on around there that causes people, you know, to feel certain things, and this is part of it. Okay. So, we don't have to really dig into this verse of scripture very much in 17, because it's pretty self-explanatory. Verse 18. I am the one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. He just put a few more coals on the fire. It's just wonderful to see how he can handle these folk. And they thought that they could bring a woman there and trick him in some way.
For him, probably handling them was effortless.
Oh, that wasn't that.
No, it was not.
No. And so, you know, this is the stupidity of man here in a great way, in a real great way. Because if he knows all this about you, and he knows how you were formed and how you were made, and he knows what you do, and he knows who you are and what you're made of, how many hairs you got on your head, this, that, and the other, and I'm gonna get him. No, they ain't gonna get him. They're not gonna get him with their logic against his truth.
Yeah.
It can't work that way.
They can't make him take him by force like they wanted to.
Oh.
He just walks.
Like, come out and grab
it. Yeah, he just walks. Because his time was not.
Absolutely. Let's look at verse 18. And 18 says this. Oh, I just read it, didn't I? I am the one that beareth witness of myself. That's one. And the Father. That's two. That sent me beareth witness of me. So that's the coals now that you're sitting on. Okay. Let's go to 19. And these from about 15 on down to 21. All this kind of goes together. And some of them, I'm sure, have not heard some of these things that he's telling them, because he's given them a lot more information than they thought they would ever get. And it says, then they said unto him, okay, where is your Father? Where's that? Wait, see. They can't get, because they have went all the way through their life, all the way down, and it says no man has looked upon the face of God. He can't do it. He can't do it. If God comes into the temple, smoke comes in and gives them a smoke screen. They can't see God for the smoke. If he does this, you know, when Moses came up and the bush was burning, when he got there, out the voice out of the bush says, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. He had already took the sins away from that area that he was in to talk to Moses. That's what happened to Mary when they brought the seed of God and placed it into Mary's womb. She had been cleansed of all of the sin that was around her. Because God, either the Father or the Son, in that situation cannot withstand the sin that is in that place. They're not going to accept it. And can't accept it because they are sinless. They don't have sin. They can't abide sin. So that's the reason God had to do these things with Moses, these other men that he dealt with as men, because they couldn't withstand the glory that was there in them. Wow. And we're going to get to be part of one of them. We're getting to be part of one of them one day. That's even hard to understand in this day and age. My goodness gracious. Read the rest of that verse 19. Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. So in order to get to know the Father, it has to come through the Son of God. He is salvation. It doesn't make any difference what you and I think. That's the way it was set up. That's the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be. And folks, I don't think it'll be all for long from here till that takes place. It might be quicker than you might think. The temple is not prepared to receive visitors now because it has been ransacked and torn. As many times, I don't know, somebody said that 27 or 28 times. Because of all the gold and all the things that was in there, every ugly person that wants to do bad things wants to get in there and get this treasure that's, and they've made films and all of the thing that they carried around, that they put all the, supposed to have the Ten Commandments in and all this stuff. Well, down between the temple and down there between the temple and Jerusalem, even today, if they haven't done something with it, there was a castle there that Paul gotten around there at one time, even after years after they crucified Christ. It said it had a place for 1,000 people. Well, the 1,000 people were the ones that were there to protect the temple, to keep the temple safe. But that never really truly happened because Satan was always wanting to get his little 2 cents worth in there. And so this was the way they were situated over there. My Father, if you had known me, you would have known him also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him before his hour was not yet come. They couldn't do anything with him. They couldn't reach out and grab him. He was immune to that. See, he was going to have to give that up before they could even do anything with him. And so we get down to verse 21. In verse 21 through verse 59 of John, gives you much more information than he has given mankind before about him and his Father concerning the things of the world. And so we're going to get started in this, but it's going to be 2 or 3 studies to get through these verses of scripture because it's a back and forth kind of a thing. And it is a learning curve. And some of these folks said, well, yeah, we understand this. Then the next verse or two, they don't, because they weren't really telling it the truth. Every time Jesus said, you're still in your sin, you can't bear it because you can't understand it. If you can't understand it, you can't bear it. It's only when you get to know something really know something that you can begin to understand and to bring it to a point that you can accept it and cherish the truth of it without even thinking about it. That's the reason you can't understand it if you're not a believer. Your mind is made that it can't comprehend that and send that to your heart to get the truth out. Okay, so we're going to get involved in this. It says from verse 21 to verse 59, questions and answers between two parties. And so this is where we hadn't quite gotten to that point in our last couple of studies, but now we've gotten down to this point. Okay, so this is a question and answer, like I said, between two parties. So let's look at 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall not, and shall die in your sins. Full stop. Whither I go, you cannot come. Oh, they said, wait a minute. How's he going to do that? Yes, he can go somewhere and we can't go. Well, they don't have the understanding because they haven't had this situation with Jesus that can make them realize that they understand salvation. That said Jesus again unto them, I go my way. I withdraw myself, and ye shall seek me, or will seek me, and shall die in your sins. Now, sin there, if you look at it, and if you have a companion Bible and you're looking at 128, it is I, or one Roman numeral, little I, two I's, and then a one. And it says, the sin of rejection, of rejecting him, is the reason you're going to die in your sin. Because if you reject him and die in your sins, you have no hope. He says, whither I go, you cannot come. So there's a barrier there that's called sin. And that's what Satan uses as barriers for all the things that you could receive if you didn't have this sin. God could bless you beyond any understanding at all that you've ever had in your life. He could give you the things that you don't even have any clue about, because the barrier is there. He said, whither I go, you cannot come, or you're not able to go there. Well, this gives them another little hot bird to sit on for a little bit. So there's got to be a little more information given here. So we go to verse 22. Yeah, 22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Is he going to kill himself? Is that what he's saying? Is he going to kill himself?
It's almost comical to watch them floundering in their ignorance.
Yeah. Because he says, whither I go, ye cannot come. Well, in their mind, in their way of thinking, that is the only way that this can be avoided. You know, if he kills himself, then we probably have to kill ourselves too. Or if he kills himself, that takes us out of the equation. We won't need to worry about him no more. Now, you know that's not going to happen because they can't even put their hands on him. Gee, how are they going to kill him, or how's he going to die if something don't happen that would cause him to lose what he had called life? Well, he's going to do that. But he's not going to do that on their terms. Because he says, my life is mine. I can lay it down or not. But he's already promised the Father. Now, whether they know that or not, I don't think they could even understand. I don't think that. Because it's not his time yet to do this. So, verse 23. And he said unto them, so this is the back and forth, And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, full stop. Ye are of this G. I am not of this G. He's not of the world.
Wouldn't be.
Man was made out of dust of the world.
Yeah.
The grand judgment or sense that the world was in at that time. That's what we were made out of. But he said, I wasn't made out of that. Well, that's another burr under the saddle, ain't it? You know, so he is giving them information here that is really beyond their ability to understand it unless they get to a point where they can believe it. Now, 23. We are from beneath or of the earth. That word is G-E. Now, that means earthly. Well, what Adam was given was earthly. And he was given dominion of this earth. That was what he was created for. But now, this needs to be looked into a little bit because if you want to find out something and you're not really certain about some of this stuff, then you need to go back and look at the word G-E-N-E-S-I-S, Genesis. That was everything that God was going to put Adam in charge of. So G-E is the ground, earth. G-E-N is a gift of God to mankind. Well, can you explain that system? Yes, I can. G-E-N. Oxygen. O-X-Y. G-E-N. H-Y-D-R-O. G-E-N. You put oxygen and hydrogen together and you get water. You're 75% water nearly, 74% water. If you didn't have it, in a few days you wouldn't be here. If you didn't have oxygen, in a minute or two, you wouldn't be here. And the two put together, you got to have it. That is a gift of God to you. But now, that's not all it was, is to God's gift. That's just G-E-N. Okay, G, the earth. We have the earth. G-E-N, you have the gifts of God on this earth. Okay, what's next? Then you have a G-E-N-E. Wait a minute, that's G. What are you made of? Your father gives his wife, the mother, the sperm. And the two join together. And in these pools of genes comes life. Mm-hmm. And that's the gift of Christ. He is the gift of life. He is the light of life. You can't have light without you have the gift of life. So we're made up of genes. Some good, some may not be so good. It's according to mom and dad. If they're doing things that's not in the will of God, sometimes that may not work. We don't know. Because that's the reason you have stillbirths, because things didn't go right. And God has a way of taking care of that. So then you have G-E-N-E. So there ain't nothing left but S-I-S. Either sin or salvation. That's what it's used to say. It can't get any simpler with man than that. You can have salvation, and if you don't, the object of the difference is S-I-N. S-I-N. Salvation in sin or sin without it is salvation. So that's what we're talking about here. You're from beneath. He's looking at these people that sit there and said, okay, you guys are from beneath. I'm not there. I didn't come from there.
Yeah.
And I'm not. And,
what do you mean? Beneath the firmament. I'm from the other side.
Yeah. But. I can control everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's the will of God. If you have never thought about that for a minute, there's a lot more to it. I didn't tell y'all about it because I'm still working on that study. And I've been working on it for about 6 months. But I give you the face value of it right there a little bit. But here we are. God didn't forget us because Satan got involved. He didn't forget us. He just put enmity between some of us. And that's another great part of it that we haven't really talked about yet. But I'm out of time. And so, God willing, we can get a little deeper into this if we have time. But that's a good place to stop right there. We'll pick it up again and go on with it from there. But when he says, I'm not from here. I'm from there. You're from here.
What would you give to know what went through the Pharisee's mind when he's...
Oh, man. Well,
I bet their brains got cartwheels.
Right now, there's people, a lot of people that don't understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Still don't get that. God has made it clear.
Yeah, peace, God.
There is a way for you if you will look for it.
Yeah, these guys thought they had it all figured out and had all the answers.
And they looked at it for themselves. Well, if I change my mind, then I'm going to have to change my way of doing things.
I'll lose my place and my position.
Yeah, I'll lose. No, you won't. That's the reason it took me 33 years to get to know God, even after I read the Bible a lot from the time I was 7 years old. My grandmother gave me that.
Folks think they live, but they don't.
No, you don't. It is an absolute gain. It's like having a T model and going and trading it for a Rolls Royce, you know. It's just that different.
Amen.
It's just that different. God bless you, folks. I hope you understood this. And I hope you agreed with it. If you don't agree with it, let me know.
Take you out behind the woodshed.
Huh?
Take you out behind the woodshed?
Yeah. You can take me out behind the woodshed because it's there. It's there. We're just glossing over it a little bit right here because this man is going to take care of our sins forever if we come to believe and understand what he can do for us in the form of salvation eternally.
Amen.
Eternally.
Big A. Yeah.
No end. So God bless. We'll pick it up next time and go on and hope that we'll continue to learn because this was what he was trying to tell these people. And he done nearly everything he possibly could to do.
Yeah. And they still didn't get it.
Absolutely.
For the most part.
God bless.